And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. It is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing all right. Saw, I didn't even realize it was out or if heard much about it, which is weird, but I saw Thunderbolts last night.
How was it?
It was good.
Was it?
Yeah, I really liked it. And Rotten Tomatoes said, it was like 88%. So I was like, okay, I usually check that. Don't always agree with it, but, it's like usually gives you a little idea. But apparently it's not doing well, huh? I guess.
I think they have screwed up Marvel so badly since Endgame that people are just like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my dad also saw Thunderbolts and said it was good.
Yeah. So. I mean, I'm invested for the next one. It was entertaining. It was good, man. I was happy with it.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good to know. I may have to actually see this one.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. Yeah. I think it's worth checking out. And it's worth, it's a theater movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, with all the stuff, all the things. So, yeah, I would recommend it.
Good to know. I mean, I have to get in there before the thing gets out of the theater.
Yeah. I mean, there was 6 people in the theater last night. We thought, oh, we better get these seats before we go, And, yeah, it was like we have our own row.
And pick your own section night.
Yeah.
In the movie theater.
Ate a lot of popcorn, as you'd be surprised to find out.
Nice. Very nice. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing great. Yeah. Not too familiar with the Thunderbolts versions of the Marvel here.
The new Avengers.
Okay.
Yes. Essentially. Oh, yes.
All right.
So, yeah. And it's got some...
Sounds intriguing.
Characters from previous movies coming together, including the, what's his name? Bucky, the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Cool. We'll have to look more into
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, basically like reprising her Veep role, but just in terms of like evil global warfare.
No, yeah. I can get into that.
Yeah.
Fun.
Ian's sold.
Bring Elaine in here. I'm all in.
Ian's all in.
Yeah, man.
We got a lot to get into on the program today. Paul Kuharsky will be with us in the second half of the show. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. We got a lot of Titan stuff to get into before Kuharsky even gets here. So we'll take your thoughts on all that, 615-737-1025. Joe, I do want to say that we found out the schedule. I believe the Super Regional schedule came out about 28 minutes after we got off the air yesterday.
I thought it was like right after.
It was pretty close.
Yeah.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, the schedule for Tennessee and Arkansas. So they will begin on Saturday, which I guess could be good news if you're Tennessee and you want to start Liam Doyle in game one.
Yeah. I mean,
you could probably do it now.
Yeah,
Saturday.
I think so. And that to me is like you bring out your ace right away and you set the tone and put the pressure on them. I mean, so I that's what I expect Tony Vitello to do now.
So we will see how that develops for Tennessee, and we'll have more on the Super Regional for Tennessee against Arkansas as the week develops here. We begin today's show with some trash talk on Vanderbilt football.
Everybody's trash talking Vanderbilt.
Apparently everybody's trash talking
Vanderbilt
just, this week.
Just talking to Vandy.
Heck of a week to trash talk Vanderbilt. And the latest comes from Alabama wide receiver Ryan Williams, who I don't know if you're aware or not, Joe, was 17 years old when he played college football last year. And it only came up 75 times on each broadcast that he was playing.
Yeah.
But obviously, Alabama, pretty significant loss to Vanderbilt last year. Talked a lot about that game around here. And they will be playing Vanderbilt again this year, this time at home. And they'll be playing Tennessee at home this year, too. So John Gruden, doing his Barstool stuff now. He's gone through his quarterback camp. And now he's ended up talking to Ryan Williams. And he was going through, what happened against Vanderbilt last year? And, the answer started fine from Ryan Williams. He's like, they just played better football than we did that day and all this other stuff. And eventually he got to this quote, Joe, which is making the rounds. Quote, going into this game, talking about Vanderbilt this year, we don't call them revenge games. We're going to kill an ant with a sledgehammer this year. Every game we fell short last year, we definitely got red eyes going into them this year. This is from Ryan Williams, the quote. Kill an ant with a sledgehammer is what he said. Joe, your thoughts.
I love it. Now, the follow-up I needed was, okay, so is Vanderbilt, of all the, these revenge games, are they the one team you view as the ant? Because he was talking about Vanderbilt and, you know, Ant and Sledgehammer. That sounds like what people would expect when Alabama and Vanderbilt play, right?
It does sound like that.
But then he kind of went into, you know, red eyes the other game, blah, blah, blah. But to me, that was a direct, not just that we're going to beat Vanderbilt, but that, you know, Vanderbilt doesn't belong on the field with Alabama. And I'm here for it.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Like, I immediately, and I heard Jared talking a little bit about this yesterday, too. I immediately thought of Nick Saban. I was like, huh, what about Nick Saban would think about this? Of him just being like, yeah, we're going to kill an ant with a sledgehammer out there, that Vanderbilt. They got us last year. Hope they enjoyed it. I don't know.
I mean, Diego Pavia is going to – he's going to, like, rent a theater. They're going to rent the Belcourt Theater, and they're going to watch the movie Ants the week of the game. He's going to put, like, ant pictures all over the locker. I can already see it, man. I mean, if I'm Vanderbilt, I lean into this just like 8 years ago. Saban was like, thank you. Oh, my gosh. It was Big Joe who did the interview, too, and I forget the kid's name, but he's like, you're next, Alabama! Yeah. After they beat Kansas State.
The cool – they're going to show Alabama how to play real SEC ball, and it's like, okay, man. Calm down.
God, is that what he said?
That's
I
what
just
he
remember
said.
The year next part. But, yeah. You know, of course, again, here, let me bring it to one writer on this real quick. So Michael Casagrande has covered Alabama forever.
Yeah.
And he didn't come to the game last. He's kind of turned into a columnist role there, but, like, he didn't. He was like, yeah, he did something else. He went to a different game. So he missed the game last year. In 17, before the game, he told me, I'm telling you, Vanderbilt's winning this game. He said that. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just like Vanderbilt thought, like, they were up. Like, people who covered Alabama thought they were going to lose to Vanderbilt, and they beat them 1-0.
Yes. I remember that very well. Diego Pavia apparently has responded to this. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So On3 put this out there last night. I'll just read the first two graphs. After Ryan Williams promised Alabama would kill an ant with a sledgehammer against Vanderbilt this year, Commodores quarterback Diego Pavia responded. He offered a message via Instagram Tuesday night. Pavia reposted a reel that had Gucci Mane's Made It outro playing in the background, and one of the lyrics is, quote, they acting like they tough, but don't want no confrontation.
Okay.
And Pavia included a 100 emoji and smoke emoji with the post. So Pavia is aware of Ryan Williams' comments.
I like that. I was hoping that you were going to tell me there was some sort of, you know,
actual response.
How about Ants Marching by Dave Matthews Band? Can we jam that out? You know, I mean,
maybe
we
missed opportunity.
We can have some fun with this.
Maybe a missed opportunity.
He's got time.
Well, look, there is no doubt, you know, that response probably will not be the last time we hear from Diego Pavia in Alabama week from the Ryan Williams stuff. So, look, I love this stuff. This is part of what makes college football great. It's awesome. Frankly, Diego Pavia and, like, the way that he approaches things, I also love. So I am very interested to see how Vanderbilt handles this. But we also know that Ryan Williams is an absolute problem to deal with out there. So we'll see if Vanderbilt can go to Alabama this year and get it done and avoid being the ant to the Alabama sledgehammer.
Yeah, that's it was already going to be a fascinating, you know, week and game and all that. But this gives you a little reminder of what's to come. You know, that game for Vanderbilt, like, a big key with that game, and just like any good game in the SEC, is, you know, how much attrition have you attrition have you endured already when you get to that point? You know, last year it was, I think, maybe the second SEC game, or was it the SEC opener? It was very early. Because it was like first weekend or whatever in October. Yep. So this year they do have South Carolina on the road, but this is their second SEC game early October. So, I mean, that's, you know, that bodes well for Vanderbilt. Whereas, you know, I think at the end of the year, you know, you saw a little bit of, you know, like, again, they obviously end at Tennessee this year. I think you saw a little bit of wear and tear on them. So, and especially with Pavia, you know, that's the thing. Can Pavia be 100% Pavia for that game?
We're going to find out. Also, who's playing quarterback for Alabama? It looks like it's going to be Ty Simpson, so we'll see if that's good or not. I have no idea. I have no clue what to expect from Ty Simpson.
Yeah, it's almost like surprising when you hear a story anymore about, you know, quarterback, high recruit, and waits a few years to start. But that's actually how it's supposed to be. You know, it's like you're actually supposed. I know the offense has changed too since he's gone there, but that's what's supposed to happen. And now you just kind of expect if the opportunity doesn't come early, the kid gets in a portal.
So I took this whole thing. Vanderbilt already in the heads of Alabama before the season begins. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, that's the way I'd look at it. Already in Bama's head.
Owning some real estate.
That's right.
In Alabama's head.
Boy. Haven't been too many times in Vanderbilt football history where you could say that. I think you can now if you want to.
Yeah, maybe like 1985 after they beat him in 1984. Ray Perkins.
Yeah.
In Alabama, you know. I don't know what happened, you know. Like, I don't know. I'm sure the next time they played, Alabama killed them. But I just know that in 1984, the people still talking about that Vanderbilt win over Bama. In fact, that was the last one, right, I think so.
Yeah.
So every 41 years or so, we're in your head.
Yeah, you better watch out. See if they can repeat it this year going down to Tuscaloosa. Some trash talk from Alabama wide receiver Ryan Williams directed towards Vanderbilt football. So we'll see how they respond to that. We got a lot of things with the Titans to get into. We'll get to some comments from Brian Callahan on the offensive line from yesterday as well. Coming up next, take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com throughout the show. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
With that, go ahead.
Maybe going to be out there?
He's here. Again, we're just being smart, managing him at 35 years old and just getting here for this last half of the offseason program. So just take it slow with him. Don't need to see a lot of Zeitler at the moment. He's pretty proven at this point in his career. So more just about being smart than anything else. But he's here. He's participating. He's around. He's in meetings. And he's with us, part of the team.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday on Kevin Zeitler, who apparently not on the field, but is in the building, in the meeting rooms, all that jazz, as we're continuing to go through OTAs here for the Tennessee Titans. Joe, some reaction to that yesterday. You know, obviously the offensive line, a sensitive subject around here, given how poor that it's been over the past few years. And some of the conversation I saw from Titans fans in the aftermath of that was, all right, it's not the world's biggest deal, but, man, I'd sure love to see the entire offensive line out there as often as possible just to work on kind of being next to each other for the first time and getting, you know, some reps in together. Everybody is aware that there is limited, or everybody should be aware, that there is limited in terms of just physical reps that you're getting here. There's no pads on. It's not like you're hitting defensive linemen and driving them in the ground and stuff like that this time of year. So there's a limited amount of what you can probably gain and really is valuable from the offensive and defensive lines this time of year. So it's always important to keep that in mind. But I did see some Titans fans that were concerned about Zeitler not being on the field. Joe, it is the beginning of June, so your concern level that Kevin Zeitler not on the field, before we get to an interesting theory on this from Trevor Maddich yesterday that I heard that he threw out on Stilley's show.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm interested in that. Yeah, it's hard for me to honestly summon much, not even outrage, much of anything about this. It's, you know, again, it's sort of like the reps, like Callahan's talking about with the quarterbacks. I guess, I mean, the one thing that to me is it's like a reminder, you know, 35 years old. First of all, it's sobering to hear people talk about that like that's ancient. But
it's older than me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sobering too. But
significantly.
Good for you. But, you know, I don't unless they're really doing a lot of – obviously, like in camp, you want them there every day. You want them next to each other every day. And then I think the real debate is, like, how much benefit do you get from them having a few series in a preseason game? Things like that. At this point, yeah, I don't – I can't get there, man. I can't get there. And if they stink, you know, again, there's we always have these conversations, like, if this happens, are we going to look back at June, early June? I severely doubt it. Yeah.
I mean, it really, as long as he's out there for training camp, I don't care all that much. Now, look, I will say I'm interested to hear what Kuharsky has to say about this later, because he's thrown it out there many times that he doesn't want to hear about, well, it's got to take the offensive line some time to gel this year. Like, he has no time for that heading into this year. So,
yeah, I mean, he's only covered the NFL for a half a century, and that's always the case. But, okay.
Well, cool. He wants nothing to do with that this year. as the Titans are putting this line together. I think most of the concern that I saw, and Jared talked about this a little bit too, it's not necessarily that Zeitler's not on the field. It's just because Zeitler has not played with Latham before. They've got a center coming back from an Achilles injury at this point. So how long is it going to be before Cushenberry's back on the field and ready to go?
Yep.
You've got Dan Moore playing left tackle next to a guy in Skoronski that he's never played with before. So there's just a lot of moving parts with the offensive line that if there's ever opportunities to maybe work some things out, regardless of if it's OTAs or not, maybe you take those opportunities if you're the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing, but I believe that camp is plenty, and frankly, it's not enough because that's the thing. It's like camp is plenty, but also like it's just games, and that's the thing. So we're probably going to see some growing pains, and that's where preseason games, there isn't a ton of value in them. Again, no one's game planning. Teams are doing vanilla stuff out there, but some of your schemes and some of your protections and things like that, you can get a look at those. And just like the joint practices, that's why people like those so much now. You get best versus best and things like that. But even through all that, like you're going to have to find some things out during games. So then you look at this now, and it means nothing.
So Maddich threw it out there yesterday, basically that he wonders if like there's something else going on with Zeitler. Like is he completely healthy? Like mm-hmm. something like that. So it's always worth keeping those things in mind this time of year. Like if there's even the most minor of things, could the Titans just be like it's not worth putting you out there for this? You know, you heard Callahan say it there. He's not all that worried about Kevin Zeitler. He's played a lot of football over the years. So that part of it, I don't care about the Zeitler part of it. I really don't. Like, I'm not worried about him. The only thing that really worries me about Kevin Zeitler is he's 35 years old, and is there a wall coming? I mean, it's coming at some point for all of them. Like, does that happen this year for him? But I'm not worried about that right now as we sit here on June the 4th. I kind of go back to all the other stuff of, all right, playing with Latham, making sure your communication's down. We still have the Cushenberry thing that we probably don't talk about enough as to whether or not he's going to be back healthy, ready to go. And if he's not, what do they do in the meantime? There's still a lot of moving parts with the offensive line that make me concerned about how quickly they're going to be able to come together when the season comes around. And, oh, by the way, you played Denver first, so have fun with that.
Yeah, it's like if they come out and look like a cohesive, really strong offensive line at Denver, then watch out, everybody. I'm going to start talking playoffs the next week. It's so unlikely. Like, it's so likely that they're going to look vulnerable and have a bunch of issues and things like that. But, again, in this league, offensive line play early in the season is kind of – that's yeah. been a thing. It's pretty widespread.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. So I just kind of on Callahan's comments, like I just don't think the Titans, especially him, can afford, and I get it's June, but I just don't like to hear that, oh, it's okay. He's got plenty of experience and that also matriculated from, I feel like, Jeffrey Simmons. Well, I know Jeffrey Simmons will be ready. The Titans can't really afford to just be passive and just be like everything is okay because we got these guys in the building. Like, I would at least, maybe you can be calm, like a little bit behind closed doors. But, you know, can you act like something is their sense of urgency that we have to get better? You know, like sometimes perception is reality. Sometimes it isn't. But can we just get a little bit of, you know, oomph, you know what I'm saying? Like, for show us something, you know? But anyways, what is success for this offensive line this year, given how bad it's been as of recent seasons? Hang up and listen. Tighten up.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. What is success for this offensive line?
Mediocrity.
I mean, comparatively speaking, yeah. I mean, I'd probably settle out of court for that right now, right? Like, if you're a middle-of-the-pack offensive line, I think a lot of Titans fans would take that right now. Now, I've said this, you know, you drafted J.C. Latham 7th overall. to be your franchise left tackle, and you've basically punted on him being your franchise left tackle after 1 year, which I guess is fine, but he better be a darn good right tackle. Like, he better be – you better walk away from year two from Latham thinking to yourself, man, they got a 10-year bona fide stud at right tackle.
Yeah, but if not, they can just blame Rand.
Well, maybe so.
Hashtag blame Rand.
Maybe so. You know, I don't really care about the money part of it because it ain't my money. But you did pay a lot of money to bring in a left tackle, right? Like, you need him to be a good, solid, reliable player for you. You know, Zeitler has been a very good player throughout his career. He is 35, so we'll see what that looks like this year. So, based on what the offensive line has been, I would settle for average offensive line right now. No questions asked, but I do look at certain pieces that they've got on the offensive line, particularly Latham, and I think to myself, you better see some pretty stellar play from that guy.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I think Maddish, by the way, on Zeitler, I think that's a good theory. The thing is, this didn't need to become a story. Obviously, it becomes a story, you know, because – and I mean, it is – like, again, I don't think it's a big deal, but it is sort of like – it's curious.
Yeah.
Like why, you know, I guess.
Because you
like,
can make
– why not? You know, like, why not have them do stuff if
– You could make the argument of – well, they're not really doing all that much anyway, so what does it really matter?
Yeah.
And then the flip side of that argument is, well, they're not really doing all that much, so why can't he be out there, right?
Like, yeah,
it really just depends on which way you look at it.
I mean, I think there's a probably decent likelihood that, yeah, you know, well, a tender ankle or something. It's like, yeah. Whatever. But it's these teams, you know, injury reports, when they have to happen, they have to happen. Now, I do think Callahan is – much more likely to still be like, yeah, he's dealing with something, whereas of course, Vrabel would, you know.
Not have
if he mentioned something to someone about an injury, he'd then have to kill them. So, I think I've come up with a new hashtag. You know, the hashtag let Rand cook?
Yeah.
Hashtag let's blame Rand.
I like that. That's good.
Hashtag let's blame Rand on everything bad that happens.
Here we go.
Rand, are you napping?
Tavondre Sweat. Heading into year two for the Titans. We talked yesterday on the Titans buy or sell about what the pass rush could look like this year. It was not encouraging, according to the three of us. What should expectations be for Tavondre Sweat heading into year two? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I'm comfortable all the time, man.
Did you change, you know, weight or anything like
that?
Oh,
yeah. Yes, sir.
What are your expectations for yourself in year two?
Be the best that I was last year. Be better than I was last year.
Talk about focusing maybe on weight. Are you down compared to last year?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Ask Callahan, man.
Yeah, okay. But
there you go.
Enough where you feel it, though, out here?
Feel what?
You feel lighter and faster.
Oh, I feel great.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Did you ask JC about what his plan was? Did you guys have similar plans? Or you have,
he's a grown man. He do his own thing, man. I do mine.
Tavondre, I saw Sebastian was doing some things like yoga, it seemed, or hot yoga of some kind this offseason. Did you do anything kind of out of the ordinary or maybe outside the box?
I try hot yoga. Whew. I try hot yoga.
How did it go?
It was all right.
Wow. Try
Pilates, too. I ain't going back to Pilates.
That's Tavondre Sweat yesterday. Didn't sound like he was a huge fan of hot yoga. He's definitely not a huge fan of the Pilates. Figured that out from Tavondre Sweat. I will say.
I don't blame him.
The mental image of him doing Pilates is pretty awesome. Probably needs to go back.
What about hot yoga?
Hot yoga could also be pretty special.
Yeah.
Look at there.
I'm with you.
Will they call him Meatloaf?
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Apparently, he's lost some weight. So he's in better shape than he was a year ago, which, by the way, a lot of conversation about how, you know, how good a shape he is going to be in last year. I mean, he played in every game. Didn't seem to slow him down all that much. So that really wasn't much of a storyline throughout the year in actuality, the way it played out with Tavondre Sweat. So
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. He also wasn't as – quite as impactful as I thought he might be if it worked out.
Yep.
So what does that mean? How much? And I love the – yeah, ask Callahan about my weight. Yeah, you can ask him.
You guys can ask Brian Callahan. Well, Brian Callahan was asked not about his weight, but about expectations for Tavondre Sweat heading into year two at his press conference yesterday. Here's what Titans head coach Brian Callahan had to say.
How do you quantify the growth from year one into year two for Andre Sweat?
I think it's the details of the position. You know, he's a supremely talented person. There's not a lot of people on the planet that can do what he does at his size. And it's more about the consistency of performance. Would like to see more from the pass rush game. He's got ability to rush for a man his size, and that's part of point of emphasis for him is affecting the quarterback more. He's a tremendous run defender. That was a strength of his already from last year, and the part of it's going to be just improving the detail and then improving the ability to help affect the quarterback. So I think those are the things we're looking for progression-wise from him. And he has the ability to be a full three-down player. He's not necessarily your explosive interior pass rushers that are out there, but he's got great ability to push the pocket too. So looking for more of that from him. And I think he had a solid start to his career, and I think there's a whole lot more meat on that bone for him.
So that was Callahan on Sweat heading into year two. Says he wants to see him become more of a threat rushing the passer. Says he's not necessarily one of those explosive pass rushers from up the middle, but his ability to push the pocket, something they're looking for more of in year two. You know, I'm on Pro Football Reference right now. He was credited last year with 3 quarterback hits, 1 quarterback sack. So obviously not a ton in either one of those areas in terms of affecting the quarterback. So, Joe, as you look at Sweat, what he did in year one in all 17 games, the size, obviously, that he brings to the table, the ability to be a force defending against the run, how do you view him heading into year two? And what is the jump that you're looking for in terms of him getting after the quarterback in year two?
Well, I don't know that I care about a sack number. I said it last year. He can have 3.5 sacks and be great. That is possible. Now, pushing the pocket, like Callahan said, I mean, it's the dominance that you're looking for on a down in and down out basis, and it's leading to quarterback being affected, quarterback, you know, hitting the ground, other people getting sacks, et cetera, et cetera. I do think that Sweat would be one of the reasons you could talk yourself into optimism. And again, Sweat and Simmons. I mean, that's, they were fine last year. I mean, look, Brian Callahan, he's been accused of being a little positive at times. I think at times he has been a little bit too. I thought that analysis of Sweat was not overly, you know, it was solid start.
Yep.
And I think that's accurate, but also it's interesting, you know, like sometimes you expect him to be. I wouldn't have been surprised if Brian Callahan said, yeah, he had a really good rookie season. And then it's like, nah, was it? It was fine. It was good. It certainly didn't leave you discouraged. I don't think it should have. But how much better can he get? I think it's got to be – I mean, for this team to be significantly better than expectations overall, I think he's got to make a huge jump. And I do think it's possible for him to be a lot more impactful.
Well, some of this goes back to, you know, we had the buy or sell discussion yesterday, and one of the questions that I threw out there was, is there a single Titan that will have 7 or more sacks? And all 3 of us sold, because I think it just kind of shows you on paper what they've got right now getting after the passer. Now, I do not expect Tavondre Sweat to have 7 sacks, right? Like, I think that would be an astronomical jump, especially at that position that he plays. So I don't expect him to have that, but it does kind of highlight the importance of getting more as far as rushing the passer from him and Simmons, because they're so light at edge rusher right now. You know, barring some unforeseen just monster season from Arden Key, or maybe Femi Oladejo is way more ready to play and be impactful than we think heading into his rookie year given his background. Barring that, they just don't have a lot getting after the passer right now. So part of that answer is going to have to be, if they're going to be a good defense, it's going to have to be Simmons and Sweat causing some havoc up the middle. And we talked about that last year and the opportunity for that to be maybe the best part of their defense. And they had their moments, but I would not say that consistently they were the dominant duo that you expected out there. That it would be great for this defense, and frankly, it might be necessary for this defense if they're going to be good for them to have that type of year this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, and you wonder, that's the thing, they made some plays not as many as you'd like, but also just the overall, like the rushing defense was terrible. How much of that was mistakes? I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I mean, shoot, Aaron Donald at times got ripped. I mean, there were films, you know, I saw film study dudes. It was like, well, see, Aaron Donald, you know, he blows people up, but actually look at how many running lanes he creates sometimes when he, you know, plays off script. I mean, there is something to like the whole picture and the whole puzzle and how it fits together. The run fits have to be sound. There's no way they were enough last year, you know, so there's also that, just being solid and sound against the run, man. If teams can run on you like teams ran on the Titans last year, and of course, yep. Jeffrey Simmons likes to say the teams don't run on the Titans. I hope he doesn't say that again until they go through a year and get back to being one of the best rush defenses in the league like they were not that long ago. Yeah, you're just – you're in such trouble as a defense.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, if you can't stop the run – with the lack of pass rushers that they've got this year, you're going to be in for a long year on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, it just is what it is. Like, I look at Sweat, and again, I'm with you. I think you walk away from his rookie year and you say, you could see some of the tools that are there. Now, he did not get after the quarterback as much as anybody hoped in year one. How much of that has to do with the weight? You know, is it, you know, he's obviously – he's talked about losing some weight. We'll see if Callahan ever divulges exactly how much that is.
But daily.
How much?
Give us the number every day.
Yeah, we need the scale. Somebody bring the scale. Like, how much does that, if it's significant weight that he's dropped, how much will that help him in terms of getting after the passer? Because, you know, I go back to what Callahan said. The combination of a guy being that big and the ability to move the way that he does, he's right. There's not a lot of people on planet Earth that can do that. So, I expected that last year to probably translate into more opportunities to get after the quarterback than it did.
Yeah. Again, some of it is, well, teams sitting there at 3rd and 3 because they ran for 4 and ran for 3 as opposed to teams, you know, 3rd and 9. I mean, that's part of it, right? Just the overall failures of the defense. But, yeah, it wasn't just like I think just about everything last year other than, I guess, NWI's touchdowns and I don't know. What was good about this team last year? NWI scored some touchdowns.
Pollard played
Pollard
hard.
Pollard was fine.
Pollard was pretty good, and Brownlee was a nice rookie surprise. But, you know, just like everything.
Nick Folk, the kicker, yeah.
Nick Folk was really good.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of
him. See you later, Nick.
Yeah.
So this was one of the things that definitely I thought this might be the strength of the team.
Yeah.
And, the thing is – I guess it was still high on the list of strengths of the team because this team didn't have any strength.
It just wasn't it wasn't what you hoped it would be.
No.
Like, they've got to be – I mean, those two – look, you're paying Jeffrey Simmons a lot of money. We inevitably end up back in a Jeffrey Simmons conversation when we get into this defense because they need him to be a great player. But you're paying him a lot of money, and you've invested a significant draft pick in Sweat. Like, those two need to be really, really good for you up the middle. And I thought they were fine at times. Last year just was not consistent enough.
It's time for Sweat to make a big step or hashtag let Rand be cooked.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on Tavondre Sweat, what are fair expectations in year two? We'll get more into that coming up next, plus a move in the NFL that I have to say made me chuckle immediately yesterday. We'll get into that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We have one texter, Joe, that says, two top 10 picks, a retooled offensive line, the best offensive line coach in the league, and this show says mediocrity would be a success. I get that they were putrid last year, but I refuse to accept mediocrity. I'm done being gaslit. And I said, a response to that text, I said, have you seen them? You think they're going to go from worst to best? And the texter responded saying that I don't think they should be the best in the league, but shouldn't I expect more than mediocre given the investment in the O-line and their coach, whom I'm told is the best of the best. Joe, your thoughts on the offensive line.
Wait, are you saying we're gaslighting you, Texter? Hey, man, I'm just sitting there. I'm watching them play, and it's bad. Now, look, Bill Callahan took over a terrible situation, and Bill Callahan's track record speaks for itself. It's not smoke and mirrors. I mean, like he's one of the most respected guys who's done his job in the league. So first of all, you should absolutely be disappointed with last year. Absolutely. Like Robbie said earlier, you draft a guy number 7 and say, oh, yeah, he's a left tackle. And we're already talking about, no, well, he's better at right tackle. Oh, yeah. Okay. Obviously, Skoronski was drafted before that. Cushenberry comes in. I mean, they tried to address it. They did not address right tackle well, and we'll get to that. But even with that, you know, it's like Bill Callahan looked at the film. I think with Nicholas Petit-Frere, I think it's pretty obvious that it's one of those things that really boggles my mind because.
And we're going to get to him in a minute.
Yeah. But yeah, that's his ongoing adventures in the NFL. Yeah, you talk to Nicholas Petit-Frere. Super bright, humble, seemingly motivated young player in this league. And that was part of why I thought, I think he can be okay. And then, you know, and this was still after the gambling thing, but I was like, okay, one mistake. And then it's like early last season when you get into this crap he's doing with like fantasy football, it's like, oh, this guy is.
He might be an idiot.
He's just unserious.
Yeah.
He is just an unserious, and here we go. I mean, his career is dissolving. But again, to answer the big picture of this, I'm not like, you should expect more. You're right. Like, you should hope for more. I'm just telling you that realistically, like, get to okay. Have to take steps sometimes. But, this year certainly is huge for Bill Callahan to at least get to that. If he can't get to that, then I got to wonder what the heck's going on.
They're not going to be here.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, I think both Callahans will be gone.
Yeah, if they can't get to that, they're not going to be here after this year. I mean, it's very simple heading into this season. If they can't get to at least being – you know, an average to, you know, slightly above average offensive line, then everything else on the offense is going to suffer because of that, and they won't be here. I mean, I think it's pretty simple heading into this year. So you can have those expectations. I mean, look, we all know that they've invested a lot in the offensive line. I think sometimes we have to separate investment level from what these guys actually are. Like Peter Skoronski, they invested heavily in. Peter Skoronski may end up being a good player. It's pretty clear that Peter Skoronski is not worth where he was drafted. Like, he was drafted 11th overall. He's not worth that. He wasn't worth it at the time they did it, and he's certainly not worth it now. And he's probably not going to be worth it. Now, that doesn't mean he can't become a good starting player for you, but he's not worth where he was drafted. So
hashtag let's blame Ram and or Vrabel.
Well, I mean, I think sometimes we get so caught up in investment level, and I get it. I get why. Like, you have to – if you're using first-round picks – particularly relatively high first-round picks, well, then you need to use them properly. But, like, I'm not even worried about that with Skoronski anymore. I just need him to turn into a good left guard for you. Like, I'll take that at this point. And that's not what you want. When you draft somebody that high, you want him to be, like, an all-pro at that spot. But, like, he's not going to get there. He's not going to do that. So I need him to be a good, reliable starting left guard for you moving forward. I will take that at this point.
Yep. And the thing is – I still look at him. Yeah, I look at Skoronski and Latham as guys who still have a chance. Now, Latham, I think, still has a chance to be special. It's possible. Last year wasn't, but I think it's possible. Skoronski, I think like you said, you got to lower it to, can he be good? I think he has a chance to be pretty good, and you'll take that. If you have that across your line, you got a chance. You know, you can look at the other spots. We'll see with center. I think they're going to have to do something early in the season. We'll see. You know, Zeitler's a good pickup, and we'll definitely see. To me, Dan Moore is as big an individual storyline as there is. There aren't many bigger than him to me. It's like if he's what some of the numbers have said over his career, boy, here we go again. And if his performance is – he actually was that much better last year, and he's a viable starter, and again, just solid, then, yeah, they got a chance to take a significant step.
But even that's a huge investment level, and, like, you're not Like, if you think that Dan Moore is going to come in here and he's going to be, you're going to be talking about him being a top five left tackle at the end of the year, he's just not going to be that.
No.
So I think you've got to, sometimes you got to separate the investment level and what actuality is. Well, like, there's a lot of things. Yeah. Like, even Zeitler. Zeitler's been a great player. Zeitler's 35, right? I mean, the wall comes at some point for these people. Now, hopefully it won't be for him this year, but he's 35 years old.
And when it comes to investment, and it's, look, it's fair to look at what people get, but just remember, that's what free agency is. You overpay.
Yeah, exactly. Nicholas Petit-Frere, you brought him up. His tenure with the San Francisco 49ers lasts less than a month, Joe. I think he was signed on May the 9th, and yesterday they made a move where he was released. They brought in some other members there, including they also put Trent Taylor, a wide receiver, on injured reserve. But Nicholas Petit-Frere now gone in San Francisco before training camp even comes around. So your thoughts.
That's wild. It is wild because, again, look, there may be physical stuff I don't know about. Everybody gets hurt, but he hasn't had any massive injuries. Again, he's a very good college player. Yeah, what's his name? Crushed him. Aiden Hutchinson crushed him, you know, in the Michigan-Ohio State game. But he was a worthwhile, again, third-round pick. I will always contend, despite the I told you so boo-boo crew, that he was okay at times as a rookie. He had some good moments. He had some good games. It was not without hope after his rookie year. Then he gets the gambling suspension. Again, it's like it has to be a case of at some point, like, he got unserious. I don't know.
Well, you know how hard it is for an offensive lineman, particularly an offensive tackle, to get cut in, like, OTAs when there's nothing really going on with offensive linemen? Like, it's not like they're in pads out there on the field.
Right. So, like, is this, like, his approach? You know, they're like, yeah, this guy doesn't care. The guy doesn't want it. I don't know.
Andre Dillard's still hanging around up there. He didn't get cut.
He's still, boy, that's good. I mean, he's a good guy to come off the bus and be around the dudes, you know, and go to training table and then just not play.
I've never really.
Don't play him.
I've never really heard anything negative in terms of Andre Dillard's approach. He just may not be very good. Like, it's pretty clear in Nicholas Petit-Frere, based on, number one, the gambling and then the stupid fantasy football stuff that he tried to do last year. It's when he did that, when we talked about it on the show, when he did that, it was like, okay, so this guy just doesn't get it. He just does not understand.
And like I said, like, it's just, I actually want to ask this with Kaharski later, because, like, you know, you have limitations when you're interviewing people. Like, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Like, I mean, I'm like in my 50s. I have a pretty decent read on people, and I never would have guessed that would be why he would fail, you know? Seemed to totally have his head screwed on straight. But
apparently not.
Yeah.
Apparently
not.
I mean, I'm not saying his NFL career is just done now. But, I mean, you're talking about just totally flaming out here in spectacular fashion. You get signed by another team, and they cut you in the offseason within 3 weeks of being there. Where does he go from here? Like, is there – I assume he's going to get picked up somewhere else by the time camp comes around, and he'll get a shot somewhere. But if he gets cut from there, like, is, I don't know, is he done? Like, is he in danger of being done here in
a
few weeks?
He might be. I hope his analysis is good. He might be. Real quick, Ed says, to be fair, it takes offensive lineman time to be recognized. A lot of it is reputation, team success. And Skoronski won't be an all-pro, is a little premature. If team has success, reputation get better. Mm. I hear you, Ed, but if you watch him, I think he's just too slow. I think he gets beat too often and just laterally does not have the quickness, which, again, when anybody – you know, we always focus on the small, short arms with him and tackle. That's not why he's not a tackle, you know. It's because you put him on the edge against some of these pass rushers, I just don't think he has the feet to handle it. It's not the arms.
And, look, I will say this about Skoronski. I think he got better last year because I remember at the start of the year it looked bad and we were like, oh, my goodness. Like, this was – you know, you're talking about – the first four or five games last year, we had conversations about, is this guy just a total bust? Like, is he going to be just a total misfire at that spot? And again, like I don't think he's ever going to live up.
He has his moments where he destroys people.
Right, exactly. Like, I do. I think he got better as the year went on. I don't ever think he's going to be worth where he was drafted. But again, at this point, I don't care about that. I need him to be a good, reliable left guard for you. And if he can do that, I'm cool with it at this point. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Calvin Ridley has had some interesting comments. Brian Callahan has brought up him and Cam Ward working together. And I had a thought on the Ridley-Ward situation yesterday that I think is interesting and could tell us a lot about Cam Ward rather than Calvin Ridley. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.